Imagine traveling back to a time before the internet, before Mountain Dew Livewire, and before the neo-post-apocalypse. This summer, Apocalypse Video asked the question, where were you in 1982?
I mean, what happened? How did everything that was so good get so bad?
A time when men were men.
I got nowhere else to go! I got nowhere else to go!
Women were women.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
And mice could talk.
My son Timothy is so sick.
Join us all summer long as we celebrate the box office hits and misses of 1982. The date is June 25th, 1982. Eye of the Tiger is still holding steady on the charts at number 8. And a film from Burt Reynolds' old buddy, Hal Needham, is about to light up the screen with some rocket-propelled motorcycles. The film is Megaforce, and it's about to paradrop now.
From the director who brought you Smokey and the Bandit, Hooper, Cannonball Run, comes the ultimate spectacle. Megaforce, an elite compact fighting unit armed with the most sophisticated weapons ever seen on a movie screen. The mission, to preserve freedom and justice and battle the forces of evil.
The good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Megaforce.
You know, it's funny how things come around. Everything's cyclical. Time is a flat circle. Well, I guess this is in the summer months. Months back in April, there was a revelation. I'm your host, Dave, by the way. I'm joined again by Michael.
That man's got more degrees than a red-hot thermometer. And by the way, anyone else notice my armband was the Confederate flag?
We'll talk about that this episode.
We'll talk about it.
And I'm also joined by Jackie.
The very model of a modern Major General.
And I'm your host, Dave. So I was saying, it's funny how things are cyclical, because if you guys recall back the April episode, there was a revelation.
April, don't you mean April?
April?
Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Back in the April episode, it was revealed that Mike was sick while watching Air Force One. Time comes back around. Now I'm sick now I'm sick talking about Megaforce. I caught something between, I went out to get some food before seeing Megaforce, and I must have picked up something.
Dave, I like to think that I laid a strategic bomb inside of you. The germs that I had when I watched Air Force One were transferred to you, but they laid in wait until the perfect opportunity to strike, was Megaforce.
This one's interesting because that sickness must have been percolating in me while I was watching Megaforce. I would say I was not sick while watching Megaforce. It was growing inside me, this sickness, but I would say my mind was not affected watching Megaforce. However, you would think it would have been because I had no idea. You take for granted watching Megaforce, it made me think, you take for granted knowing what's going on in a movie sometimes.
Like
that's like the bare minimum of that's the bar. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on. I did not know what was going on in Megaforce.
Megaforce said, "You don't need to worry about that, sweetheart. Watch this cool shit."
And you know, honestly, I kind of had that thought because it starts with like an opening scroll, which is like, you know, remember what this was?
It was like in the future.
In the future, there's Megaforce.
Despite official denials by leaders of the free world, sources now confirm the existence of Megaforce, a phantom army of super elite fighting men whose weapons are the most powerful science can devise. Their mission, to preserve freedom and justice, battling the forces of tyranny and evil in every corner of the globe.
Well, it said something about, this is the problem I had. It said something about a tyrannical government, right? Like a tyrannical government exists or something.
Yeah, there's like a tyrant, maybe. I had to pull up the old Chattopedia after the fact to be like, so what? I get the broad strokes, but what exactly was happening? And there is, in fact, a conflict between two fictional countries, which doesn't clear anything up. I also thought for most of the film that, like, we were in some sort of, like, you know, Mad Max-esque near future. Yeah. And then there's very clearly the lines like, no, we're in the 80s, the 1980s.
Yeah. Hey! Hi, Duke. Oh, listen, I just wanted to say goodbye and remind you that the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Even in the 80s, the good guys can win.
The good guys can win.
Were they not winning before? Or was he alluding to, like, Vietnam? Is that what the thing was?
The idea that the real-life war in Vietnam would also have existed in the world where Megaforce exists is too baffling to even touch.
Well, it's just so straight.
I couldn't find on the Chinternet, the Chadernet.
Wow, I love that they renamed that one.
The internet after Chad, yeah.
The Chinternet.
I couldn't find the actual text of the opening crawl, but I did find sort of a description of it.
Sure.
And this is how it's put in RetroZap.com's article on Megaforce.
Our finest journalist.
an opening inner title informs the audience that there exists Megaforce, a quote, phantom army of super elite fighting men. Their mission is to preserve freedom and justice by battling, quote, tyranny and evil in every corner of the globe.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, what's unclear about that? Vague and stupid about that?
General Duke Guerra, played by Henry Silva, a freelance mercenary, works for the country of Namibia, which is currently at war with the neighboring country of Sardoon.
Okay.
So,
very clear.
I think, Dave, this movie that it might be alluded to from this opening crawl is a little incomprehensible. I do kind of agree with you that it does a pretty... You know what it is this movie is... And I want to get into this with you, Dave. I feel like a lot of this movie is trying to be a James Bond movie. Mm. And I think in the ways that the James Bond movies can get convoluted and can have a bit of like in Dr. No, you know, we always talk about like, what are they trying to do? I think that this does that, but it just goes over the cliff where like James Bond is kind of on the edge of it sometimes.
James Bond always has the clarity of the character James Bond, who we know who that is and roughly what he's doing. You know, he's a spy for England. Okay, got it. Instead of like made up guy from made up organization and made up countries.
Yeah, Megaforce is not James Bond.
It's certainly not.
Well, even in Dr. No, that was a big thing we had. Like, what exactly is Dr. No's endgame? At the very, very least, we know that Dr. No is the bad guy and he's doing bad things. It's like, okay, got it. And James Bond is there to stop him. Got it. In this one, the character you mentioned, Silva Guerrero, it's like, okay, I guess he's a soldier of fortune or something. Like, we don't...
Yeah,
like,
we get like a whole thing about, like, our hero guy talking about, like, oh, we went to military academy together, and, like, he's not a true believer of whatever the... pseudo-communism, whatever, that we're fighting against. He's in it for the cash.
But also, he's portrayed, you know, it's like... This character is, reminds me of, I know we talked about recently, I think it was with Terminal Velocity, like inconsistent character. I feel like this guy, depending on the scene of this movie, he's either a lovable scamp, like a bro from like sort of like we went down different paths, but we're bros.
But
like,
we're still brothers from another mother.
Or he is like Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Slash like Fidel Castro, you know, like an amalgamation.
Take your pick.
Just dictator, cruel.
But then we also have on the antagonist side the like wormy little like German guy who's also like always riding in the sidecar of a motorcycle who's silly but seems to be more in the like I don't know, evil system. Like, yeah. Again, so unclear.
He's sort of like the Jaws of the movie.
He's the what?
The Jaws, like from James Bond.
Oh, okay. Sure.
He's like a lackey, you know? The lovable lackey. Just,
it opens like...
Oh, you meant the shark.
Like, honestly, when this movie opens, I was into it. Because it starts off, you get the Guerrero guy. He's clearly like an evil guy. They're doing some kind of goofy thing where the guy's like, we are coming. We are not conquerors. This, that, the other thing.
We're coming in peace. And then they like light up the village on fire or
Guerrero,
something.
Yeah, Guerrero like throws the skull on the ground. He's like, just blow up the model factory or whatever.
Yeah.
They blow up this giant model.
All of the destruction of model work in this
Well, all these people, all the workers and people who live in this fictional area are like looking forlorn, like, oh no, we're getting taken over. It's like, okay, I know this is the bad guy. Got it. All right, cool movie. And this is right after that, the scroll, where it's like there's a tyrannical government, there's a mega force, and they are the A-team, basically.
Before we go any further, I wanted to touch back on what you said at the beginning, Dave, which is you really take for granted understanding what's happening in a movie. I think with that opening crawl, since we're living, when this movie came out in 82 in a post-Star Wars world, you take for granted what a good crawl has for you.
What kind of
info is... which also Star Wars itself would take for granted eventually, but,
It's just frustrating because it's like with that crawl, you're like, okay, there's like an empire, essentially. There's like a tyrannical
empire
that's controlling things.
But like, not really? It seems like it's just this one country which is beefing with the other country.
That's the problem. Like, if this movie would have been so much better if there was like...
An evil empire.
An evil empire, which is what I thought that the scroll was putting... Maybe that existed in like a previous draft of the screenplay, although I can't imagine what the screenplay of this movie looked like.
It's a work of art.
The vibes of this movie were like, we're filming an action movie in the desert. We got a bunch of motorcycles that we paid a shitload of money for. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that's what a lot of the budget of this movie went into.
I believe it.
Have you seen the Roger Ebert, like Siskel and Ebert, review of this movie?
No, I haven't.
You're saying almost word for word.
Oh, really?
What Ebert said about this movie.
Well, this one is a real loser. Megaforce is one of the most confusing, pointless, and muddled thrillers I've seen in a long time. It's just an excuse for mindless stunts and chase scenes repeating each other over and over again. The movie stars Barry Bostwick as the leader of a group of mercenary commandos who are assigned to carry out a dangerous and pointless raid against an enemy outpost in the desert. But first, he gets involved in a really dumb love affair with Persis Kambata, a female warrior with romance on her mind. Anyway, Megaforce was directed by Hal Needham, a former Hollywood stuntman who specializes in making movies in which the characters are only an excuse for the chases and the stunts. He made Cannonball Run, a real dumb movie, a vacuum-headed, complete and total waste of time. Mm-hmm. Now here he is again with lots of explosions, lots of clouds of dust, dozens of motorcycles lined up and roaring across the desert, and the movie got me so involved that I was reduced to total and stunned apathy.
Because the plot is so incomprehensible. And the frustrating thing
they,
is...
They described it as incomprehensible, too. I do not think that the illness is the reason why this movie didn't make sense to you, Dave. I think this is a... It feels like it's like a draft of a movie.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it feels like you're, playing with your toys with your friends as a little kid, of like, we got all these cool motorcycle toys and I'm gonna vroom vroom, and this one has rocket wings, and my mom bought me the matching cargo plane that goes with it too, so let's play soldiers. Like
that said though, I there were moments in this movie I really had fun.
Oh sure,
really?
I had fun. He's turning to pixels.
You can't be shocked that there was moments to be had.
No, that was what was so frustrating, because like I was saying, like getting into, like I was initially like, oh, on board with it, because it has like this. I was thinking like when this started, okay, you got this like over the top bad guy. Oh, just blow the thing up, and they blow it up, and then it's like Mega Force. You get like the crazy like black and white titles, which look kind of cool.
They
did like the cheesy 80s synth music, and then at one point it's like filmed in Introvision. I'm like, yes, I don't know what that is, but I'm on board.
Yeah, Introvision was so funny.
So what did we? What was Introvision?
It was the blue screen shots of him, like, in front of the screen, like, flying on the thing.
Okay, that makes sense. There's also the very romantic scene with
parachuting jump.
The parachuting. Oh, man. Yeah,
but it's
this...
like, but it's so frustrating because it's like you get that cool opening, and I'm like, well, I thought it was goofy fun anyway. Sure. And then the movie just devolves into, like... Again, with that opening, you think there's a tyrannical empire and the Megaforce are like the rebels, basically. But then you cut to like this airport and things like seems like things are kind of status quo. You get this like English guy with Persis Kambata with him from Star Trek the Motion Picture fame. She was the bald lady.
She was the bald lady. Mm-hmm. She is like distractingly gorgeous in this film.
Dave, yeah. they called that out in the Roger Ebert review too.
She lives in the country that's getting invaded
or whatever by Guerrero.
Yeah, she's like the president's daughter, but also like a military major in her own right. But then also they didn't write much of a character for her to have.
She's like supposed to be
Princess
like
Leia.
You're right. Yeah, she's supposed to be like a very skilled combatant.
Yes,
and you do see her do a lot of things with like. She's good at things. You see that she's good, but then at also random points, she just becomes like a damsel in distress.
Yeah, because what do you mean write a character for a woman?
Well, it's so
that's
strange
just
because
silly.
They set her up to be this like, oh, she's very capable, but then later on, it's like, no, you can't come on the mission. And then ultimately, it's like, why did she want to come on the mission in the first place? Because ultimately, it was going to be a double cross, I guess.
Sure.
I have no
confusing.
Idea.
We can't get into that, but Yeah, I mean, I do. Very, very beautiful. I liked her outfits. That what was it like a purple dress that she comes into the desert in a pink dress. She's so beautiful. It's a little whatever that she has the romance with our lead, who is a goofy looking guy.
Ace Hunter, played by Barry Boswick, who it was driving me nuts. I'm like, who is this guy? I've seen him before. It turns out he was in a very big movie years prior. He played Brad in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What? Wait.
That was him.
I would not in a million years have clocked that. I mean, yes, the hair and the beard. He's bleached blonde and
blown out.
and like tanned to make like the blue eyes like pop. It's very 80s. Wow, I would never have thought of Brad Rocky Picture.
Well, same thing with Persis Kambata. Like, sure. I mean, that name is pretty recognizable. I'd recognize the name. But if I didn't know her name, I would not have recognized her as the person from Star Trek.
You're like, you don't look like a bald alien at all. You look like a beautiful woman.
You're not a Delton.
Wait a second. You're just a lady. It's extra funny, though, because we'll have, like, her in, a regular... formal military uniform with like a blouse and a skirt or something, and then what's his fit, and then Ace Hunter walks in and he's wearing like a red and blue, they have their regular Megaforce jumpsuits and then their formal ones, and every time they're standing next to just people wearing regular clothes and pants, it's just like, why did you do this?
These costumes are insane.
The costumes are,
I'm gonna say, I'm putting, for listeners, you can't see, but I've got a chalkboard out with chalk. I'm drawing a tally mark for a thing I had fun with about this movie is these insane outfits. There were multiple times I laughed just seeing
just them, like, showing up in the outfits.
I've seen a lot of things, but like the skin type bodysuit with an ascot, with a big puffy ascot around the neck, tucked into the skin tight.
Ace Hunter is always wearing clothing that shows his moose knuckle in this movie.
There was a lot of moose knuckling. They also, I mean, because again, it's
skin
tight.
Some of the skin tone of the outfits, too. It's one of those things where, like,
it's too
at
beige.
First glance, my body is like, is he naked? Like, is that, he's wearing.
They really should have gone for, I think, a less skin-like color.
It really does show the importance of costuming.
Yes. You know? That said, I mean, he's got a dang bubble butt. It's that was also a little distracting, I'll say. Should we talk about some of our other characters, such as the guy with the Confederate flag?
Okay. Well, I think before we mention him specifically, we should say, like, what Megaforce looks like, right? Like, what is Megaforce?
Well, I thought we were perfectly clear. It's Megaforce. Megaforce
is basically like the A-Team.
It's a group, but the thing is, Dave, they're all representing different countries. So it's sort of like a special forces from, like, the UN, but it's also very American coded too. Like,
yes.
I think there's a handful of people from America on it, but every member of Megaforce, of which I think there's around like six or five.
No, they said like totally like 60.
Oh, okay.
You see I think you see like a German flag on one guy's arm.
You see like
you see a Japanese,
Japanese
flag, Mexican flag, you know.
That's what I think, like, when everybody speaks, they are speaking unaccented English.
There's two guys with American flags, and then there's one guy.
Dallas.
Of course.
With a Confederate flag as his armband.
He said,
it's
no,
pretty
I'm
prominent
not from,
too.
I'm not from America, I'm from the South.
The thing that is struck me about this, Dave, Jackie,
Michael.
Like I wouldn't be shocked to see like a movie that came out of the or a character that came out this time and he's like showing off a Confederate flag in some capacity, right? Like he's got it on his, maybe a decal on his truck or
something. I mean,
Dukes
of Hazzard was very big.
Exactly.
It's not that it did not exist in the 80s.
I wouldn't have been shocked to see that. But what I was surprised about is like, this is his official armband that is designating like the country he's from.
Yeah.
Like, does this imply that
he's fighting for the
alternate
South.
Reality.
Yes, the Confederacy exists again.
Also, how does his black teammate feel about that?
I know.
Yeah,
I wonder.
If the Confederacy exists again, what does that look like?
Yeah, what's
are maybe the main differences in laws between the U.S. and the Confederacy?
The fact that I have no idea what's going on in this movie. I have no idea of the status quo in the world. Like, they mentioned this tyrannical empire. Is it the Confederacy? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the Confederacy. They're over in Namibia or whatever. Oh,
yeah,
my
it's
God.
So funny too, because like
we spent a lot of time with this guy too.
I don't know if you were noticed the first time you see it, Dave, in your haze of illness, but it's,
well, no, again,
it's
once
just
again, I stress,
sort of,
I was not sick watching this. I'm sick now.
He was percolating.
It made me sick.
It made me sick. This movie made me sick.
You
this
just
movie
kind of
gave
see
you
it in passing is the thing. Like, it's not like they really talk about it or anything like that. Like, the first time it's just as he's walking around, you're like, wait a minute.
You're like, wait
that
a sec. Is that a fucking...
Like, you know, it's one of those things, like, you almost got to wait for it to cut back to be like, did I just... Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's the choice
the
they made.
He's wearing Confederate armband, huh?
Yeah, huh. Yeah, and I'm coming from a part of Germany, maybe you can guess, and here's my armband. You're like, no!
Yeah,
exactly.
You can't do that!
And we've seen this guy before. This is actually our third movie with this actor, Michael Beck. We first saw him in Xanadu.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He did look familiar.
That being
and
said,
then,
you know,
obviously
I don't think...
his biggest movie is The Warriors. He is the leader of The Warriors.
I don't think he did a terrible job in this role, to be clear.
It's not his fault that they put a Confederate flag on his costume.
He's like the, you know, he's Dallas. He's the guy that's like, I'm your plucky, I love you, Ace Hunter, you're the best.
Yeah, he's handsome and nice and folksy.
I think he's kind of meant to be like a bit of like an audience surrogate. Like the audience is meant to see themselves through, you know, him kind of thing. The way he's looking at our protagonist.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot going on in this film. And yet,
Not very much.
Not very much, because it's just like, okay, they spend a lot of time setting them up as essentially the A-team. Like, mm-hmm. So as he said, like, we get, like, again, we don't know what the status quo is. It's like, Persis Kambada is the president's daughter of made-up country.
Major Zara. By
other made-up country.
Yes.
And she goes with, like, this, who looks with like this British guy. General or something, this British guy.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, is England aiding?
It's weird because he's the most British man who's ever lived. All his dialogue is British.
He's
stuff,
like, what, chap?
But he's talking about reporting to an American chain of command. Like, he works for America.
That's, so they get, like, dropped off at some random spot in the desert.
Which is where this movie takes place, the middle of the desert.
The middle of the desert.
Dave, please. The movie takes place 20 miles outside of L.A., right next to where they were filming every Star Trek original series, Alien Planet.
Yeah, no, we're watching it. We're like, Kirk is just over that mountain ridge tearing his shirt right now.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because it's like they get picked up and then they're like, well, no welcoming party. And then you find out that, oh, no, I've been here all along. I'm Dallas. I'm the good guy. And I actually have hologram technology, I guess.
Yeah, oh, my God.
It doesn't amount to anything in the movie.
The fucking hologram technology.
Amounts to something.
That mostly just projects a bikini babe on the beach.
It's projecting softcore porn. That's which, all it does.
Couldn't you possibly have arranged to have us met in more comfortable circumstances?
Why, sure.
Hey, Zach, give me a 4-7 in place of that rock.
Oh, Carrie, darling, you're looking prettier every day. I just love these holograms. They're the cat's meow. Deep, that's all, folks. Right this way, Major Man.
We can make anything we want with these holograms, from a boulder to a beach.
Get right on in there, make yourself at home. General, after you, sir.
But yeah, he's hanging out in his truck, just watching them like stand around in the sun. He lets like a snake attack them before he shoots it away, and then it's just like, what, y'all upset? What? But then we finally get to like
and
the
he drives
secret
them back to Megaforce, and it's like this secret giant underground
base.
Thing.
This is where, okay, Dave, if you'll notice, I'm picking up the chalk. I'm looking at the chalkboard and the tally marks that have fun. I will say I've exercised restraint. I did not write a tally in the fun category for the Confederate flag armband.
Oh, you didn't find that fun?
No tally mark for that. But I am going to add a tally mark here for the matte paintings we get in this very Bond-like base setting.
I know, it's very Bond villain layer,
yes,
while also
is,
trying
it
to
feels
be
like we're in Dr. No's.
But it's
like
oh, bunker. We have our own Q, sort of.
Oh, and you have all this technology. I didn't even know that was past the testing stage. Oh, this, that, and the other thing. I'm so amazed. It's so awesome. It's like,
wow,
okay,
Megaforce is great.
It's like, I get what the movie's doing. It's setting them up like, oh, they're going to use all this cool gadgetry later. It's
no, we use motorcycles.
My exact note that I wrote is, some okay matte paintings of layers! Exclamation mark.
Yeah.
Dave, I don't know if this came up in your mind at all while watching it, but before going into this, I had read that Trey Parker and Matt Stone of South Park Team America love this movie. And in fact, Team America is like, they were saying is like very similar to the structure of Megaforce. And
I could see that.
This is where I feel like it is, that is so like firing on all cylinders. Like, I feel like we get this exact scene in Team America. It's been a lot of time.
Look at our cool lair. Look at all of our cool shit.
We got our cool stuff.
Like, it's like a thing under a volcano or something, or I might be confusing it, but I just remember this like very elaborate, look at all this cool shit we got. So I think like there's bones of a much funner movie in here. I think the problem is not to tip my hand too much, I'm not the biggest defender of this movie or anything, and I do think like it's a shame that it's so mired down with the incomprehensible plot, because there's stuff here, if they were having if it was just a better script in this scene doing kind of the same beats, I think it would be potential for like a 3.5-star movie.
Well, I mean, you know, the A-Team and all of that is not like Shakespeare, you know? It's a pretty straightforward, like, what if we had a team of cool guys?
No, I'm literally, I'm asking for is just make it comprehensive.
Yeah, you know? Megaforce could have had that of like, I mean, it's silly, but, you know, it's cool guys on an adventure with motorcycles and, yeah, great. But instead we get, yeah, all of this fucking bullshit.
Well, and like for the first like half, it's like it's not good at all. But it's like I at least understand what's happening. Like, okay, we're gonna hire Megaforce to like get the. It seems like the plan is we want you to go in, destroy Guerrero's forces, and then like lure him to the border. Right?
Is so they can like arrest him, I guess, or something.
Initially the plan, and then you have this like forced love story between Ace Hunter and Persis Kambada. It's just like, okay, it's like these are hallmarks I get. I've seen these in movies a million times. They have like this inexplicable love affair where and this is so funny. Like, it's like I could jump out of plane too, and initially I'm just like, what does this plane jumping training scene have to do with anything?
It's sex. It's a sex
scene.
Like
I forgot about that scene. That scene
because it's so
funny.
Pointless.
It's so funny though.
It lasts
like,
so long.
Well, when it's one of those you know, we've seen a lot of skydiving, and it's one of the
Patrick Swayze.
They got people skydiving. There are clearly shots of real people skydiving, and that looks cool for the first minute of the
and then we cut between
intro vision.
Oh, and it's
but,
the two.
Every time it does the close-up, these might be the worst. And again, I'm adding. You'll notice I'm picking up the chalk. I'm adding a point to fun. These might be the worst rear projection effects in a movie, and we're not. There will be worse to come. I think this really saves its worst for its last in this movie.
Mike, I just want to tell you right now, we're taking IntroVision back to formula. Okay.
Look, we're working, okay? No, it's so funny that the scene lasts so long, and every close-up of the main two, you can just hear, like, some unedited version of them going like, whoa! Whoa!
Yeah, it's also one of the most whoas we've had in a while. Whoa!
But it doesn't amount to anything, because Persis Kambada is essentially out of the movie.
This is to, like, the most frustrating part for me in this movie is this little arc we get of her doing these training things. And it's kind of
because she
cool...
wants to join Megaforce.
Yeah. So basically like Megaforce is going to go on its mission, and they're like, she's like, I want to come. And he's like, oh, you don't have what it takes. And she's like, try me. And so they're training her, and she's doing really well, like really well. And it's a cool little sequence on its own. Like this little, the idea of getting, a sequence of her training, right? It's almost like a Rocky thing. Like, she's doing cool... like, she's doing the skydiving. She does a simulated driving thing. And but then he just comes at after she's done is like, oh, by the way, like, no, you're not going.
Well, like, he's like, hey, I feel bad. I kind of led you on here. I was never going to let you, join the mission.
And it's not like I'm, like, mad because that's shitty or anything. I'm more mad because, like, well, then what? Why did we just watch this? Like, it just feels like a...
Well, it's just like, I would be fine with it. It's like, you do the standard movie thing where it's like, oh, she stows away. It's like, no, I'm coming on this mission. Like, this is what this movie needed. Like,
there's
she stowed
way.
Away. You know what it is? Like, she is the mysterious person with, like, the helmet. You're like, who's that guy? I don't know who it is. And then you have the reveal. Oh, it was me all along.
It was Major Zara. Yeah. It's...
There's a way to do this, like, right? It's not like the beats themselves are, like, that bad, but it's just done in such a clumsy way. Like, the pacing of the story for me, I feel like, when it got to that part, it didn't have the effect of, like, oh, I'm so frustrated for her. I feel for her. I more had the effect of, like, well, why did we just watch that?
It's just incredibly frustrating because, like, she gets turned down. She can't go to Megaforce. And then the next scene, it's them on the planes getting ready to go. And then she's, like, she gives it the scene of, like, a soldier, like, saying goodbye to her boyfriend, soldier. Like,
they've known each other for, like, 18 hours.
It's
bizarre.
It's very much like, well, they're the movie people and they're in love now.
Yeah, like, where the movie people were in love. They have like
they got their own little kind of way of like saying, I know, yeah, kissing the thumb from far away, where they like kiss their tongue and do a thumbs up or something.
There's like this might be a little bit later, but they set up this thing of just like, oh, you know, we can't be together, but meet me in London for maybe we can have that date. And it's like almost trying to do like a Casablanca thing. And it's just like, you guys do not have the fucking juice for this.
It stood out to me. Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny that he was like, you know, the Lion's Head pub in London. And she's like, yeah. And like, or like, you know, I don't know if she
after
says,
all
yeah,
this,
like
meet me there.
Like, meet me there. No more explanation. I was just like, you know, London's a big city. I feel like Lion's Head pub is kind of, it's kind of like,
seems pretty common as far as names
go. Albeit Joe's Diner. Like,
yeah.
I feel like you need more info than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a call the next day. Like, hey, so there's like 40 Lion's Head pubs.
I looked in the phone book and like, that's a really common pub name. But
I could be forgiving of all of this stuff. Because as you said, it's very similar to Team America. It's just like, oh, we got this cool underground lair. We got all this cool shit. It's like, and we're the best there ever is. The best there ever was. Like, okay. It's like, I'm somewhat on board at this point. It's like, because I still kind of know what's happening at this point.
Yeah, but you're like, go on the mission. Do it. You're out.
They go on their mission. They apparently are able to have like 100 guys inside one plane, which is insane.
Sorry. And all the motorcycles and vehicles.
They have all the guys and the motorcycles in this one plane, because you see them like eject from the plane, and it's just like a clown car. They keep going from the plane.
It's very clown car.
I don't know if you'll notice, but parachuting vehicles parade is getting a check mark from me on things that are fun.
It was fun. It was funny. I was just like, all right, I'm sort of on board.
This is like I'm laughing while this is happening.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
I was laughing watching
this. And what I'll say that I think that is at the end of the day important is I'm engaged, right? Like, I am not bored when this is happening on screen.
Unfortunately, that cannot be said for other parts of this
film. I am bored for much of this movie, for sure.
Well, this is when the movie really loses me, because it's like, you know, again, like you said, it's like, well, why was that parachuting scene there that was worthless? Like, whatever.
They
like,
didn't even end up parachuting off the plane. Yeah, it's so exactly. funny. Imagine a world in which, like, Point Break, they're like, Terminal Velocity, you know, they're parachuting. They're doing all this training, and then we get the grand heist, and it doesn't involve people parachuting off of a plane.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, yeah.
This is where the movie loses me, because it's just like, it's like, all right, I know they're going to go in, and they're going to wipe out Guerrero's forces, and they do that, but here's the problem. Guerrero has no forces. It's like, they go in, and they blow up a bunch of tents with no opposition.
Yeah.
They go in,
it's not just tents, Dave. They, like, blow up what looks like just a village. This is, again,
exactly.
I was thinking so much about Team America right now. It's like, were they? I feel like watching this movie is honestly just given me a lot more context for Team America. Like, I really think that was them doing whatever Team America was, like, of the Bush comedy stuff.
Sure.
But, like, I feel like they were really kind of going off of Megaforce a lot.
They were like, okay, you know that really silly movie? What if, feels right if there's puppets, right? And it's like, yes, there should be puppets.
You get a similar thing with Predator, too, where it's like there's some kind of silliness and just the way it's so indiscriminate with their, like, they just get in and they're just, so they go in here and it just looks like they're just blowing things up.
Yeah.
That seems to be the goal. Like, they're not particularly shooting.
They're not facing any opposition.
No, there's no one shooting back at them. Yeah. There doesn't appear to be any specific target, right? It's not. It's not like we're like, oh, let's get the satellite dish.
No,
so
they're doing
can't.
Like some Blackwater shit.
They're
like
just,
they're
like,
just like, yeah, firebomb the town
into a village.
Like, yeah, set some cars to self destruct. Yeah, just do that.
And then like interspersed with like high, like yeah, suck, like.
And of course, Guerrero escapes because he's our, you know, he's back in like, ah, shucks, you little stinker mode. And is it at that point after that he meets up with old pal Ace. Well,
yes.
They do the raid, and is this what, this is when we get that 4-minute timer on the screen, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah, is, that's right.
I am putting another check mark and something fun on this movie.
That was just bonkers, because it's like, again, it would be entertaining if they were facing any kind of opposition, right. But they're not.
Yeah, 4 minutes to set an empty village on fire.
It's almost like someone watched the movie and was like, Jesus, they're fighting no opposition. Like, there's no stakes here. Like, can you just put a timer so there's like a sense of urgency or something, maybe?
Yeah,
have either of you ever seen a movie that where they do the like, hey, we have, you know, 4 minutes to do this, and they literally put a timer on screen for the full
four? No, I've never seen that before.
Can't say that I have.
I've seen that in video games.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and this movie's old enough that it was definitely not influenced by video games. It was made in 82, right? No video games then that would have been doing this, but it is funny that that's like, it was jarring to see that in a movie.
And it just stayed there for literally 4 minutes.
I know. Yeah, it's not even like an artistic kind of, or like cutting back to the timer in a dramatic way. No, it's just it's just there on the screen.
Very clinical. Like.
Yeah, so we're going to take about 4 minutes for our mission. Yep.
The traditional thing, if they were doing this, would have been like, it's like they're driving in. It's like, all right, set your watches. And they set it. You know what I mean? And then you cut back to the watches.
Yeah, at some point, someone's like, we only got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
Yeah, so someone says like, come on, we're just going to, 60 seconds.
10 seconds left, Captain.
None of that. None of that.
But literally just a digital readout, hard imposed on the screen, 4 minutes.
Like a microwave timer.
I stand by my chalk mark that this is, I'm going to remember this. Like,
well, again, it's memorable. It's
like, there's tiny, that didn't need to do much to make this better. It's just like, it would have been better if they had faced any opposition at all during the 4 minutes. Like they said, like we said, it's like, there could have been moments where it's like, oh no, so-and-so, like he's down. Like, we got to pick him up. Like, they're going to get him.
Yeah.
Like, there's no
it's none
stakes.
Of that. It's just gleefully blowing up. I was joking, like, you know, like, oh, you know, actually this is the oldest Caribbean village in recorded history. They just blew
this,
up.
This town goes back 1,000 years. The settlement.
The founding
it's not
of
like they're there
culture.
To blow up like a secret weapon or something.
Yeah.
They're just blowing up.
I mean,
tents.
I think we do see like one shot of tanks getting blown up, like you know, like a parked tanks.
Sure.
But the rest of it is just like it's a town. Like, you're just seeing a city get blown up. That I guess is the bad guys.
I guess we're told these are the bad guys.
But no one seems to be shooting back.
Well, but then I think, honestly, it's the plot is stupid, but thinking of it that way, it makes it kind of funny of the other fictional country that Major Tsar is from, does have like spoken out against Megaforce after that like brutal war crime that just happened. They're like, oh, we cannot let you into our country now, because the PR, oh man, you guys are fucking
reading behind the lines. It is kind of like, hey, you guys just like that, this is on the newspaper.
That's why this,
like, around the world,
this movie, like, is so fucked, because it's like, I know it's, you know, it's the 80s, it's A-Team, like, ooh, special force, blah blah blah, but it's like, you're a paramilitary organization that does war crimes.
Like, this is the part where I'm like, just little adjustments. Because so they blow it up, they go into the desert, they set up like a gas station for all their bikes, I guess.
Yeah, it's their secret gas station point.
And this is when Guerrero shows up, and he just shows up in a helicopter, and then instead
he shows
of,
up
like,
in a medevac, which is also a war crime.
He shows up in a helicopter with the Red Cross sign on it, so
they don't
be,
shoot.
They know it's Guerrero, but then Guerrero just like Ace and Guerrero just hug.
Well,
he goes,
like, hey.
Dave. So hold on, I'm gonna set the scene. I want you to describe this. So our evil villain, who's kind of like a Saddam Hussein, Fidel Castro type, has just...
He cheats at chess.
He cheats at chess with the presumption that, like, I can have you killed if you win, you know, to his lackeys. that's the joke, right? Is like, hey, I might just, like, kill you if you win.
Mm.
So he's committing a war crime by flying under the cover of being a medical officer. He lands on the base, and... he boldly confronts our hero, Ace.
Just walks right up to him.
Ace Hunter.
Ace Hunter.
So, Dave, what's our hero? How's our hero Ace Hunter going to handle this one?
Hey, Duke!
Is he putting us on?
Compadre, it's been too long. You didn't have to fly all the way out here just to say hello.
My feelings were hurt. You hit town, you didn't call me.
I left you a message.
Bonnie, Ace, you're always a card.
And Duke, you was always a prince.
Very nice.
Hey, buddy, get over here.
Give me a kiss on the lips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
Who's my guy?
English guy and Persis Kambada like pull up and they're like, oh, it's him, it's Guerrero. And then it's a moment where it's like, where Guerrero's like, you gonna tell him or should I? He doesn't know yet. It's like, neither do we, the audience. What's happening?
General, it seems we're here for the same purpose, to give him some terrific bad news. You know, I know, she knows. Now, he's the only one that doesn't. Either you tell him now, or I will.
Ace? This is gonna kill you!
Commander, you and your men have done a splendid job. You've achieved the impossible. However, one of those exigencies we talked about earlier seems to have arisen.
Which one?
You chaps seem to have done rather too good a job. The other fellows have advised us that this operation may be regarded as a blatant act of war, instigated by our side. Now, in point of fact,
if you allow us to cross your border, you'll probably be at war within 24 hours. How'd I do?
I'm glad you understand. It's this rotten business we're in. Fortunes of war and all that.
My thoughts while this is happening is like, is maybe Ace, is this a heel turn for our Ace, right? Is Ace going to turn out to be a bad guy?
No, well, nothing as interesting as that.
I thought this was a thing they were setting up. It's like, actually, we work with Guerrero or something like that. And it's like a double cross. And the whole, I thought, like, right. Again, a slight adjustment this movie can make. It's like, this was all just a plan to get you all in one place so we could destroy Megaforce once and for all.
He was a mole. This or that.
Yeah. But no, it's just like, ultimately what happens is it's like, English guy's like, sorry, Ace. And then Guerrero's like, I'll give you 10 minutes to get out of here. I won't even kill you. It's just like, okay, so what was the point of any of this?
Like, basically, what the movie is trying to do, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, is they go back, right? The bad guy, Guerrero, used to be in Megaforce. He broke away, and back in the day, Ace and him were really close, really good friends. Mm-hmm. And I think what they're trying to do is like, hey, we've gone our separate ways, but we're still friends, and we're going to be like gentlemen about this.
Sure.
Is that, again, I'm not saying,
I mean, yes.
Success or failure of how they pull this off, but is that what they're trying to do here?
I think so. It feels like they're going for a Magneto Professor X, where it's just
exactly,
like,
exactly.
Well, obviously we have our differences, but you know, but it doesn't work because they're. It's like they are besties who saw each other like last week, where they're just like, "Hey, mm-hmm. hi," and it's like, you just bombed his whole deal like 20 minutes ago.
Which he does not seem to care about.
No, and it's, all of it. Also, meanwhile, the German lackey is still over in the sidecar with some other nameless lackey.
Whatever this thing is happening.
And then he gets distracted by the bikini babe hologram, I guess. This movie is so fucking stupid.
Yeah, and then it's just like, I gotta have all my tanks over here in this dry lake, whatever. You're not gonna be able to get past me.
I am doing,
you know where they are now. Just take them out now.
I am doing a point in the fun column for a guy getting distracted by hologram of bikini babes at the beach.
It's too stupid.
Point, I can't condone any of this. None of this makes sense. It's just like, it's set up as a double cross, but you're just like, but then I guess they're just going to let them all go. What was the point of the double cross? What did they achieve by doing this?
It's like, what can you even call it a double cross if, no. Like, was the fictional
country that hired Megaforce. Yeah, are we supposed to believe that they were trying to set up Megaforce? I don't think so. I just think this movie is not well written.
Nothing comes of saying. It. It's just like, and then the English guy's like, sorry, old chap's like, sorry about what? What even happened?
Like, and it's like, yeah, were we under the assumption that they were going to stand with Megaforce and now they are publicly not? But like, do we have an understanding that Megaforce is an entity that countries would stand for?
Are they trying to like pin something on Megaforce? If so, what? It's not explained.
I'm starting to think this movie is a mess.
It was so bad. And at this point, I'm just like, I'm sorry, Mike. I think this is the worst movie we've watched for this show.
That is insane.
And well, because I couldn't get behind the action in the movie was because there was no stakes. They weren't even fighting anyone. It's just like, this means nothing. Like
at the very least, it's short, right? I feel like there's more harm done in a movie that's so bad that's like 2 hours long. Like I'm thinking back to like our Valentine's Days or whatever. Like some of those movies, I feel like were.
I would rather watch any of those movies than this.
Wow. Jackie, where, come on. I'm not crazy. I don't want to be a defender of this movie by any means.
You are.
At the end of the day.
You gave this a 2.5-star rating. That is crazy.
I did. I gave it, yeah. For the listeners out there, I gave it 2.5 stars on Chatterbox. That I don't think anyone would call that a ringing endorsement of this film. but Jackie, wait, is this the worst movie we've ever seen?
I don't think it is. I don't think it's a good movie, but I think we've watched stupider bullshit before. Things that make me angry. This didn't really make me that angry.
Already I have crazy clothes that are funny, some good matte paintings. the worst rear projection I may have ever seen, which is very entertaining to watch every time it happens. Parachuting parades of vehicles, a timer on the screen during a timed event, and a military operative getting distracted by a hologram of a bikini babe on a beach, as things that I thought were fun to happen. So like. There's moments.
Dave looks so pained.
I think that it's an incomprehensible mess. But like, there are moments that make this like worth your time.
I would say I would maybe watch this over Passion of the Christ because I hated watching Passion of the Christ.
Oh my God! You suppose? Well, here's the thing, though.
This movie made me so incredibly frustrated in the second half that I had no idea what was going on. The movie was not bothering to let the audience know what was going on. It was just making this shit up as it went, and that made me very angry. I was angry at this movie, like. As bad as Passion of the Christ was, I at least understood what was happening in the movie. It was horrible. It was disgusting. But I at least understood what the fuck was happening. With this, I have no comprehension of what's happening. The movie doesn't bother to explain anything.
You know, I don't disagree there, Dave. But I, you know, at a certain point, just letting it wash over you and just going with the old John Mulaney bit about like, yeah, this might as well happen.
Maybe it was like the sickness was like growing inside of me as the second half of the movie was.
It was poisoning you.
I think it was. Because I think like
the germs were feeding your ire.
Yes, I think we're meeting each other at the same terms of like it is incomprehensible, right?
Yeah, stupid movie.
I think though you seemed more aggravated by that than I think Jackie and I were like I think that's where the sickness might have affected you, where like maybe Air Force One, maybe we had some similar thoughts, and maybe the middle act of it is like a little less strong than the opening and ending, but maybe that doesn't matter as much unless you're sick, and then you're like really annoyed. Well, at there every were
moments
thing.
In this movie where like even the movie lost interest in what it was doing. There was a movie on the plane when they're about to drop. Like some guy's telling a joke, the joke doesn't land, and before the guy even starts talking again, the movie cuts away. It's like, we're done with that. Let's move
anyway,
on. Anyway,
bye. The next
and you know it's. It's like there are some things in this movie that are so bad it makes me laugh. Like when Ace Hunter is explaining the English guy in Persis Kambada, he's showing them like a digital readout of the mountains or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's just counting off numbers. He's like, all right, at 9:02 we'll do this. At 9:37 we'll do this. He's like, numbers. And I'm just like, what does any of this mean? I was laughing because it was so stupid. He's just saying numbers. And they're all nodding like, yeah, we get it.
The like mission planning scenes were rough.
Yes.
Rough stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like they went into such a granular level of detail.
And it's like, why are you doing any of this?
And all it amounts to is like, we're just riding through the desert, blowing stuff up, and we're just riding around. That's all it was.
Well, we haven't even touched on the grand finale.
Silent mode?
With the colorful smoke motorcycle parade.
Which is just like,
why?
He's got all of his tanks. Guerrero's got all of his tanks lined up at like an entrance point at the mountains. We can't get out. That's our only way out. So what we'll do is we'll have the plane land in the middle of the dry lake, and then I guess we'll just get some colorful flares or smoke bombs or something. We'll just ride around.
I think the idea was to like get the smoke around the plane so they couldn't see the plane to shoot at.
I guess.
Yeah. And then our hero Ace Hunter falls in battle and has to enact Chekhov's rocket motorcycle.
Wait, you skipped over silent mode, which was, I feel like, really instrumental to how Megaforce was able to pull this off, because they snuck up on their opposite. They snuck up
on
like
Guerrero and his men.
Even though they're in like a fleet of motorcycles and like little tanks and buggies, because they activated silent mode, so the enemy couldn't. When it cut to them, it was literally no sound whatsoever, like no sounds of engines, no sounds of tires, and so the enemy didn't realize they were right behind them until they.
Megaforce is so good at this.
It is the most like little kid thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, you didn't get. I had silent mode, so.
You couldn't hear me sneak up on you, and then all my motorcycles had colorful smoke, and it was like a smoke bomb. And then one of them turned into a rocket ship.
Which is like the most memorable thing for this movie. I don't know if you guys have seen a GIF of this scene when he's flying, you know, and the camera rotates.
The way that he like
this is the climax of the rear projection effects. Yes. I would say this might be the single worst rear projection. Like
they're really making some choices.
I was thinking of I think of the South Park guys because they. You know, it was in my mind that, you know, Team America and they're big fans of this movie. I feel like his Ace's Barry Bostwick on this rocket launcher feels very much like Randy Marsh. Like how he would like,
he's looking like he's a little kid like on like a roller coaster. Like, whoa.
So, I mean, how does this happen, Jackie? Can you tell the listeners like what the scene we're talking about
is?
Because it's the best part of the movie.
It's all of Megaforce is on the plane except for our hero, Ace Hunter.
I gotta go put all your lives in jeopardy, guys, by bonking the bad guy, my best friend, on the head.
It's a whole thing. Don't worry about it. So he's got his little motorcycle. And this was actually set up at the beginning of the movie with our egghead
Q
guy. And it's a running joke throughout of like, this is only for like an emergency. I hit one and then two. And then so we get Ace Hunter. He flips up the thing with the special buttons and it's, how's he going to get on the plane? It's already taking off. He has one and then two. And he's got his stupid little rocket wings and thrusters. And I think at this point, like, the British guy and Major Zara are, like, watching. I don't know. I think that might be later. But
It's, you know, the whole Megaforce are like, hey, so my god. And he achieves flight and it looks so realistic and so cool. Yeah, it's really something.
What really sells this scene in stupidity is just his facial reactions to what's happening. Just like, this is crazy. Whoa.
Like, I would love to know.
It's Randy Marsh-esque.
I would love to know what direction he was getting of when they filmed that.
And you're flying. It's amazing. Whoa.
Lean over to one side. Now the other.
You're doing a barrel roll. And it's more fun than you thought.
It's really fun. No. Have more fun with it. Yeah.
And what makes this funny is like everyone back on the plane is watching this like, oh, Ace, you said.
Yeah,
Ace.
They're just like, oh, you're doing it. Ace, look at him go.
That crazy guy.
This is a fun scene, Dave. Like, you got to admit, this is a...
It was all leading up to this.
It's a spectacular failure. Like,
it's funny. And he slowly, like, flies into the back of the plane, very, very slowly.
It's not
you
fast.
Get that the camera pans out, and you get the little hop where you can tell they, like, kind of combine the effects or whatever.
No. Mm-hmm. But then, our Megaforce survives another day, and then they fly over to the Sardoon side or whatever, and just for kicks, they blow up the British guy's helicopter.
That was kind of funny. I actually kind of enjoyed that.
Take it down to 100 feet off the deck! Ready! It's all on the wheel, old chap. It all comes around.
Man, fuck you. What does he say? It's like, it's all on the wheel.
But then the British guy's like, oh, Ace, you scamp.
And then he and...
everyone loves him, but so it's just like, so what was the point of any of this? Like,
so yeah, I guess, yeah, you're not going to... I guess you guys aren't really going to arrest these guys then or something.
They blew up the village, Dave.
Yeah, they blew up an empty village. And then, yeah, we get the one last of, like, the kissing the thumb between Major Zara and Ace, and he's just like, I got a date in London!
I mean, it's so stupid, and, like, there is, like, an unintentional commentary on the politics that it is espousing, you know? Like... Well, the movie
ends with a stinger.
The stinger, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Is like there is sort of like a pointlessness to this kind of to what just happened, right? And I feel like that is its own unintentional commentary.
Well, and it's so funny because the stinger is just a scene that played from earlier in the movie when he like. Again, jeopardizes the life of all of his men by driving right up to Guerrera's tank. He jumps up on top. He bangs on the thing. He's like, hey, buddy. He's like, even in the 80s, the good guys can win. All right, see ya, bye. Yeah. And the movie has the credits. And then the stinger is that scene again. It's like, even in the 80s, the good guys can win.
Did you guys forget?
And it's such a... And then it says, the end. And it's such a crazy note to go on. And, like, I would
the credits.
Do you really think that's what the movie was thinking, Mike? It's like, yeah, even in the 80s, guys. Like, that's what the movie was saying? Like,
I have no idea what this movie's politics are.
I don't know what this movie was, like, trying to say.
Were they trying to say, do you think America, fuck yeah?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I definitely think they were trying to be like, we should, like, you know, it's a pro military intervention, America World Police.
Sure.
For sure.
We shouldn't have lost Vietnam. If we just stayed in a little longer, we would have won that war.
Yeah. It's definitely that kind of thing. But it's I think it's unintentionally kind of a showing why that is dumb also.
Yeah.
I guess.
The director thought this was some real shit. He's talked about how the Pentagon tried to stop it from getting made.
What?
He's also said...
Is that true?
He's also said during filming, like, the military was there watching. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's kind of... I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, it's kind of a coincidence how much Operation Desert Storm in the 90s looked like scenes from Megaforce.
Oh my God. The military is watching.
I mean, like, that's the guy who made this movie. Like, that's who we're dealing with. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, also one of the writers is actually, I mean, he directed like Smokey and the Bandit. He's a big like stuntman movie director guy.
And I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. I love the John Wick movies and everything.
He did Cannibal Run. I think that's like his biggest one. But yeah, he did his movies.
It's like,
I don't know if he had like an esteemed career, really.
Those movies far better than this, I would say. But it's just like, I don't doubt that a lot of the budget went to like renting tanks,
yes,
and big aircraft for
motorcycles
this movie.
And
but to say that it's just like, yeah, Desert Storm, they took a lot from this movie. Like, what are you talking?
Like what?
About?
Like what? Also, name one thing.
something interesting. Very. I misquoted. So the director said that this was like Operation Desert Storm. They're like, oh, that's very interesting, right? Barry Bostwick was the one who said the Pentagon tried to stop the movie. He also said, Barry Bostwick said, quote, you know what's good about this film? It's plausible.
Oh my God.
He goes on, we need an international force like this to keep the peace. I wouldn't mind betting one day there's a real Megaforce operating somewhere in the world.
Was this him trying to sell the movie in 1982?
This was him in 2019 saying woke is bad.
We need Megaforce.
I do think this is a quote from the press cycle on there. The quote, for as far as I can tell, is from November of 1981, which would have been like the lead up to this movie.
Okay, yeah. So he's trying to sell the movie.
Potentially.
Okay. I mean, you gotta
hope. In any event, it's a funny quote.
The Pentagon.
It's plausible.
That's the funniest thing you could say about this movie is like, you know what I like about Megaforce? It could happen.
It could
it's
happen.
It's plausible. Put it that could, on the poster, Megaforce. Could, it's plausible.
It could and should happen.
Yeah, it could and should. Well, oh, man.
Any closing thoughts on Megaforce?
I mean, oh, what a piece of history.
I just want to say I have about roughly 8 check marks here and things that were fun. I'm going to add one for the scene where when we first meet Megaforce and the bicycle or the motorbike jumps over the Jeep that our characters
are
in.
Oh, that's right. That did happen.
So I think that there are moments in this movie that give me joy. I will say that.
I just wonder if maybe this movie hadn't been made if we could have avoided Desert Storm altogether.
Yeah,
yeah,
this
we
movie
probably
really is to blame for that whole
I'm sorry
conflict.
That the ideas were then just out in the world after this. It's a little scary.
Something random I wanted to say is again about the South Park people. So obviously Team America was influenced by Megaforce. In the Chattopedia, like something I saw that was like one of the few things about this movie is in the like DVDs for some of the early seasons of South Park, they did like these filmed intros, and one of them is so Trey Parker and Matt Stone, they're like standing, and Trey Parker is like, so the next episode you're going to see is the Mexican staring frog of southern Sri Lanka, which is like the name of the episode, and then he just starts describing like exactly the plot of Megaforce. He's like, in this one, like, and then like a team of motorcycles like turn on silent mode and they sneak up on, and then Matt is like, Trey,
that's not this episode. That's Megaforce.
You're talking about Megaforce.
The movie
that came
Megaforce.
Out when we were like 12, and they're just like, we should have made Megaforce.
Oh man, that movie was, rules. Yeah.
It's a funny bit.
It's a funny bit, and that I think is the most lasting legacy of.
I could see if you were 12 years old seeing this in the theaters, being like, "That was fun." Mm. Like,
that
like,
was big and stupid fun.
Like, I don't understand any movie. Any like that.
I can't recommend this. I'm putting this on the list of worst movies we've watched for this show. I hated it.
Wow. I don't know that I would recommend it, but I think I'm basically on Michael's side of like, I had fun watching it. It was very stupid.
Yeah, I think I put on Letterboxd the 2.5-star masterpiece is for kind of how I feel about it. It's definitely a 2.5-star movie for me. I think that it's a mess, but there's enough fun things about it that would push it. You know, this is why for me it's being above some of those worst movies we saw, where for me the worst thing is it's just boring and dull, and there's kind of
this
nothing.
Was boring and dull.
I think you can't. There are enough things going on that I'm like, what? Or like laughing at the screen.
I don't. You guys always post your Letterboxd ratings. I always save my Letterboxd rating. I don't post it until after we've talked about the movie on the episode. I'm going to reveal it now. This is getting a 0.5-star.
Wow.
I hated this movie. I like I said, it's such a low bar to at least understand what's happening in a movie. This movie has none of that. And it's like, it seemed promising enough for like a B movie, like in the first quarter or so. But like, once they go in and once that timer comes up, I'm just like, at that point in the movie, I'm like, I'm going to have no idea what's going on. I hate this movie. I don't like any of the characters.
Yeah.
Princess Kombata is hot and all, but I'm sorry.
Let her do something.
Not enough to save a movie.
Yeah, bring her back.
Yeah, you
let
don't
her
let her
do
anything, and she's just gone from the movie. It's so frustrating because there's so many little things they could have done to make this comprehensible. If they put in any effort, it could have been at least comprehensible, and I would have probably given it like you, Mike, 2.5 stars. But they didn't bother to do that. They were clearly just making this shit up as they went along. We're just filming it. We're just riding around in the desert. We got a bunch of explosions, and that's all we need to make a movie.
We already booked the skydiving thing. We got to use that.
I got a sweet deal on renting a bunch of dune buggies.
So I can't in good conscience. This is one of the worst movies I think I've seen because it's so frustratingly incomprehensible.
Wow.
Anywho, it's funny that you brought up Bond, Mike. Because next, when we return, we're going to be actually putting a pin in the summer of 82. We're going to jump in the warp pipe. We're going to go forward a year into the year 1983 to discuss Octopussy.
Oh, we're finally an Octopussy.
Because the summer promotion, it runs for months. It kind of overtakes everything. I didn't want us to forget about the Bond cast.
Old Man Moore.
Dave, what's the real name of the movie?
Octopussy.
No, they didn't know. What's the real name? They didn't release a movie called that. What?
No. It is called Octopussy.
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 And you will hear that name repeated many times in the movie. Octopussy.
Sorry in advance.
That's my little octopussy.
Pussy galore.
These are lines from the movie that I'm reciting right now.
Is there a version I can check out from the store that has edited out every mention of the word octopussy?
Somehow they got this by 1983.
They're like, yeah, that's fine to say. That's fine.
Anyway,
okay.
In return, we'll be discussing 1983's Octopussy.
Oh, it's going to be a rough one, but I'm ready.
Guys. Octopussy.
No.
The 1983 James Bond film.
Octovagina.
Octovagina. See you then, folks. Oh. Until then, you can't see it, but we're all making that Ace Hunter thing where we kiss our thumb and we're giving the thumbs up to you all.
It's very romantic.
Even in the 80s, there could be an octopussy.
Okay.
Go real full action.
These Hal Needham movies always seem to have the same. It's as if Needham just has to get through the first hour somehow so that in the second hour he can have his obligatory shot where he lines up all the vehicles that he can possibly rent, buy, or hire and runs them across the desert in a big line, and they all do some spectacular stunt. And it's. I've seen it. This movie was just absolutely repetitious as far as I was concerned.
Okay. Roger and I didn't like Megaforce, the Soldier of Fortune adventure comedy, a meandering plot and a wimpy leader. Two no votes for that.